What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, a few weeks ago, I had a great opportunity to be able to watch a movie with some of our parishioners here. This movie was called Cristada, which is the Spanish title for the name For Greater Glory. It was with the family Alvidres. We watched this movie in Spanish. I've seen it many, many times before in my life. And what it depicts, this movie, For Greater Glory, depicts the reality of the Cristero War, which took place in 1926 through 1929. Remember what was going on in that time? The Mexican government was enforcing lots of anti-Catholic laws, which were written to the 1917 Constitution to attack the church, which had never been enforced before. They were set out to destroy the church and to wipe it out from its influence in all of Mexico. What they really wanted was to establish Mexico not as a Christian state under Our Lady of Guadalupe, but to make it only be an atheistic state where God is not welcome. So what are some of the provisions that they allowed for in this constitution? They said that priests and nuns were not allowed to dress as priests and nuns visibly. They couldn't wear their religious garb anywhere outside of their own rectories or in their own churches. They also said that the religious processions that we have, like for our Eucharistic processions, for Corpus Christi and various times like that, our processions for Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the patroness of the Americas, were not allowed to happen. No public expression of faith was allowed. They were trying to keep the practice of the religion really sequestered into the four walls of the church, inside the privacy of one's own heart, not even letting it be practiced within one's own home, because they didn't want the lives of Catholics to be affected by their faith when they stepped out in the public square. Audaciously, they even said that foreign-born priests were not allowed to minister at all within the state. In fact, they must leave. And if they didn't leave, they would be brutally murdered. Even within the churches, they would be hung from the rafters or taken outside and shot like petty criminals. The movie depicts the martyrdom of one such priest, who's actually my patron, San Cristobal Magallanes. To protect their religious freedom, the Mexican people, who are very religious and in love with Christ, would not allow this to continue. So they went peacefully doing economic boycotts to be able to show the government that they couldn't move forward with this. But the government saw that as an existential threat to themselves and decided they would lash out against the people violently, stripping them out, increasing their persecution of the church, and even attacking regular civilians, murdering them brutally, hanging them, as we all know from the pictures we've seen, from the poles, the telephone poles, out throughout the countryside. Both men and women and even children began this fight to regain their ability to worship God freely. Their cause was the cause of Christ. That was their battle cry. And so the Cristeros would constantly be heard to cry out, Viva Cristo Rey y Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe. Long live Christ the King and Our Lady, who is our mother, the Virgin of Guadalupe. She is the one, remember, who set them free from the horrors of paganism and brought Christ into their lives. She is really the Queen of Mexico, not the president. They recognize this. And so men, women, and children risk their lives in order to fight for their religious freedom, because love for life did not cause them to shrink back or detest or deter them from enduring the pains of death. Their consolation was to fight and to die for Christ the King, to offer themselves up for the Virgin of Guadalupe, who is their mother. Now, I'm really happy that we allowed a change in the rules today, because we allowed a man by the name of Benjamin Franklin to do our reading today. It's good to have a manly man doing a reading which is so full of manly courage. Because what's going on there? The exact same thing I was talking about in the Cristero movement in Mexico in the 20th century. 2,000 years earlier, the Maccabean revolt was taking place. You see, what was going on was that the pagan Greek overlords who have overrun the entirety of the world had also overrun Palestine and defeated the Jews. They weren't satisfied with just allowing with just being able to get the taxes and be able to having control of the world. They wanted to destroy their culture, destroy their religion as well. So what they did was they caused them and said, you must violate your dietary laws. Now, this wasn't something as simple as just saying, hey, you guys got to start eating bacon now or something like that. That's not what they were about. What they were really doing was they were making an effort to get them to abandon their relationship with God, who had commanded that certain foods were things unclean for Jews, for those who worship the one true God. Now, why did God do that? Why did God make those dietary restrictions? Do you know? Remember what happened in their history. 400 years they spent in slavery under the Egyptians, under their cruel masters. And what they would do with these specific foods was to offer them to gods, to false gods and pagan worship. And so what God did is he said, now that you are my people and I have won you through my great and marvelous deeds, you will not touch those foods because you worship only me. Every time you don't eat those foods, it'll be a reminder for you that you're mine and I am yours, and I will always take care of you. So the Maccabean Revolt was a movement to protect their ability to worship God freely, and they wanted to practice their faith, to be able to govern for their faith, to inform their whole lives, not just what happened in their temples and synagogues. So they, like the Cristeros, took up arms to attack the army that was oppressing them, this Greek professional army that had conquered the whole world. You know what, under Judas Maccabeus, they were actually very successful, just like the Cristeros were, because God was on their side, dealing this professional army many, many numerous defeats, because God was protecting them. The young men in today's readings, along with their mother, all affirm that they were prepared to die rather than turn themselves away from their God or offend him in any way, because they saw that their relationship with God was so real to them that it brought them to die for the Lord, for hope of life with him forever in eternity. Brothers and sisters, let's face the facts. Face the facts that there are moments in our lives when our relationship with God as Catholics is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us friends, job opportunities, standing among those who are in the world. Financially, it's going to hurt us sometimes, and it'll even harm our family relationships, right? When we have to tell our brothers and sisters that you can't engage in those homosexual relations, or you actually have to be married to the person that you're living to, that's going to hurt us, right? That's going to cause divisions in our families. But the more a relationship matters to us, the more we're willing to suffer for the person we love, right? We all know that. We're called to live just in the very same way as those young men did in our first reading, like those Cristeros did in the early 20th century in Mexico. Our eyes have to be focused upon Jesus, upon his promises, upon his presence in our lives. Now, what do we call somebody who doesn't fear death and wants to serve their God? What do we call such a person? We call them a martyr. A martyr. But where does that word come from? Do you know? That word comes from the Greek martyrios, which means to testify, to bear witness. And so a martyr is somebody who bears witness with the whole of their being to their faith, what they hold to be true in their lives. That's what it's about, to recognize that God is real, that he is good, and that he is worth striving to please even to the end, whatever end may come. Sometimes for us, we don't always feel that way, right? Because it's easy for us to dismiss our relationship with God as he's just some sort of cosmic force out there, somebody distant. I don't see him and touch him and taste him every single day of my life. You know, I'm a good person, and because of that, mostly good, and he's just going to let me into heaven. But what did we talk about all this week? Heaven isn't for people who are good. Heaven is the reward of only for people who are saints. Only saints get into heaven. And so we Likewise, if we wish to get into heaven, must strive to be saints as well, in this life or in the life which is to come in purgatory. But we have to recognize that Christ is the very king of our lives, the very center of our being, and the reason for everything that we do. We need to come to recognize that his truth should change our lives, that his mass, which we experience, should change our outlook on life, that when we receive Jesus upon our tongues, our hearts should cry out like the Cristeros, "Vivo Cristo Rey." God, you are my king. I will do anything and everything for you. That's what it means to really say amen when he's placed upon our tongues. We should be willing to give up anything and everything for our God who gave up his everything for us on the cross, even if it means costing us our very lives. That's what it means to be a Catholic, somebody who's confirmed and filled with the Holy Spirit in their lives. We're called to live as martyrs, as witnesses to God. Now, as we look back at that Cristero movement, you remember the Cristero Wars, all that violence that was going on against Catholics for just wanting to believe and practice their faith. We know the brutality of that Mexican government under Calles did not cease to attack even young children. You know, there was a 14-year-old boy by the name of Jose Sanchez del Rio who joined those Catholic fighters because he saw his own priests being killed and martyred brutally. He could not stand for this, and so he joined their cause. Now, he wasn't a great fighter. In fact, he was somebody who could never take the life of another person for any reason. But he was, for this Cristero army, an inspiration, a man of deep and profound faith that moved them to follow God closer. He had such purity of heart that they wanted to have that same purity of heart as well, touching everybody from the general on down to the lowest foot soldier. Now, when government forces finally captured him, who was their flag bearer or their inspiration, young Jose was offered many great things if he would just recant his belief in God. They offered him pardon, various rewards, if he would just reject his Catholic faith. But 14-year-old Jose, when he was offered all these things, you know what he said? He said to them, "My faith is not for sale." And because he stood up to them like that, they brutalized him, tortured him in extreme ways, which I cannot speak before you today here in this Mass. It'd be too crude, too horrific. But each and every time they cut into his flesh, with every fiber of his being, he said, "Viva Cristo Rey. Viva Cristo Rey." And finally, when they put a bullet through his head, that's what he was shouting forth, "Viva Cristo Rey." You know, Jose Sanchez del Rio, he was a man whose faith was not for sale, who valued his friendship with God above everything else and died as a witness, a testifier to our Lord. So you know what? On October 16th, 2016, less than a month ago, Pope Francis canonized him. So now we can call upon, in our struggles and our difficulties, upon the intercession of Saint Jose Rio, or Sanchez del Rio. He can help us in our struggles when we try to live out our faith. Now, God may not be calling us here in Fort Sumner to maybe face the threat of martyrdom today. That's probably not what he's calling for us today, to die a violent death like those Maccabean brothers or like Jose Sanchez del Rio. But let's be honest. There are moments when our lives, when our relationship with God, trying to be Catholics, is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us in our friends and job opportunities and our standing in the eyes of the world. It may cost us financially or even wreak havoc in our familial relationships. But what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 10? Chapter 10, verse 34 through 36, this is what our Lord says. He says, "I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of his own household." These are the words of Jesus. This is what our Lord says. When we stand up for him, when we stand up for the faith, we can't expect to be winning many friends in the world. But we will be known as a friend of God. And he will not forget that. Most of the time, when we stand up for our faith, it's going to make us enemies of the world. But this isn't something that should make us sad. Like we're dragging our feet on our way to martyrdom. No, what it should do is it should fill us with joy. With joy, joyfully seeking out every opportunity to witness to Christ, it should make us happy. Because we can stand for Him in this world. We have the hope that is worth dying for. We have a hope that is worth living for. We have a hope that if we practice our faith with the fullness of our lives, that we can spend eternity with heaven, in heaven with Christ. That's what God promises us. And you know, what better time do we have to do than right now to live that out? No better time than now. Because what is going on in our lives, even at this very moment, what are we doing this week? On Tuesday, we have the opportunity to stand for Christ in the election. We have the opportunity to live for Him even when we step into that election box, to really give our testimony that God is God and God alone. We can be Catholics who receive Him at Mass, recognizing that who He really is, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, present here to give us life and strength to live out our faith in every way, every aspect of our lives. And there are a lot of issues that are surrounding us, right? Confusions, which are abounding, emotions, which are running high. We got lots of fears. But I'm here to put you to rest. There's no need for fear. No need for fear. Because what's most important is that we're Catholic. And as Catholics, we know what we believe and we know what's most important, right? We know that the most important thing for us in this election isn't the economy, the rising Obamacare premiums, the climate change, the race relations. We know that the most important thing isn't immigration, foreign policy, or the federal deficit. It's not even terrorism or national security. We know that it's not something about an email scandal or about sexual improprieties or about temperament. Those are the things which are distractions from the truth. As Christians, as Catholics, we know what is non-negotiable, and we know what our faith is founded upon. There's only one thing above all things that is important for us as Catholic citizens in this 2016 presidential election. That's the issue of abortion. Abortion always stops a beating heart. Abortion always intends to kill an innocent baby. Abortion always separates souls from God until they repent of it and turn to Him and receive His forgiveness, even in every way possible. Abortion is the only issue that is non-negotiable on the ticket for this election. And therefore, it is up to us to have this joyful opportunity to witness to our faith as Catholics, to stand up, to stand for life, to stand up for Christ, no matter what it costs us, even if it costs us our lives. There is one candidate in this election that desires abortions to be freely available even to the last moment when the child desires to spring forth from its mother's womb. There's one candidate who wishes that we should pay for that abortion with our tax dollars, something which has never been allowed in the history of the United States. And I'm going to reiterate to you what we talked about 3 weeks ago. If you do not know which candidate it is that I'm referring to, then don't even consider casting your vote until you know who that is. Because ignorance in this area is absolutely and unequivocally unacceptable, unconscionable. Ignorance in this area is causing the death of millions and millions of little babies each and every year. It is also costing Catholics to place their immortal souls in danger of separation from God eternally. On the other hand, if you do know which candidate I'm referring to and which party wants to promote and expand abortion on demand, and you still intend to enable them to continue their war on the unborn with the help of your vote, then it's my duty, as somebody who loves your soul more than you love it yourselves, desires you to be with God forever more than maybe you desire it, to tell you that your vote in that direction will place your soul in grave danger. And that you are not able to come to Holy Communion if you cast your vote in that direction. That separates you from God, a participation in that unbearable evil. Let me sum up with some powerful words which our bishops themselves have spoken in their little booklet, Catholics in the Public Square, page 25, if you want to see it yourself. This is what they say. We have a serious obligation to protect human life, and especially the lives of the most innocent and vulnerable among us. Whoever fails to do this when otherwise able to do so commits a serious sin of omission. They jeopardize their own spiritual well-being, and they are a source of scandal to others. Should they be Catholics, they should not receive Holy Communion. In this week's readings, we have the example of the Maccabean martyrs. They stood up for their faith and they testified to God against the powers of the government. They wanted God to be their God above all things, not to achieve some passing political goal or to get along with other people. They were willing to die for what they believed. And so what did they say? They said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us further? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." Can we stand with the Maccabean martyrs? When our God comes for us, will we find us testifying to him? Or will he find us testifying against him? On Tuesday, brothers and sisters, that answer is up to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.